If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Families and children, let me just say this. On Sunday marked 200 days since we sent the legislation, H.R. 8, to the President of the United States, to Mitch McConnell, to the Senate. So Leader Schumer and I called the President on Sunday and we said 200 days, 100 people a day on average, 47 of them children or teenagers. Please encourage the Republican leadership in the Senate to pick up this bill and sign this legislation to save lives. Since it was Sunday, I said to the President, as always, I pray for you. I pray for your family and your safety. And I also pray that your heart will be open to protecting the families, other families in America.
So that's Nancy Pelosi discussing the latest with the movement of some of the gun control bills going through Congress, because I'm sure you're aware that they've been discussing having the president sign off on this. I mean, basically, it's just like a gun control package at this point. And we got to start talking about everything in it, because they were trying to get this done and force McConnell's hand on this before Friday. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like it's going to go to next week, but we're going to get into all of it. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. There are a number of stories that we are watching today. And of course, that is one of the top ones because and I've noticed Republicans, specifically Republicans within the White House, obviously, you know, the aides to the president and others are being very careful in how they are discussing and considering the possibilities as it concerns different proposals related to quote unquote gun violence, which is really homicide perpetrated with illegally possessed firearms. So that's where we are. And later on in the show, we're actually going to talk with Senator Ted Cruz, because there have been, and I really wish that those involved in this conversation would acknowledge the fact that there have been a number of really good proposals that have been introduced either in Congress or have been discussed on Capitol Hill, and some really good proposals that actually would do quite a bit where it concerns some of the things that could be strengthened and or done better. Now, as it relates to, and by the way, all of which would uphold due process and wouldn't penalize at all law-abiding citizens. Now, one of the bills that's out there is obviously the Grassley-Cruz bill, and we're going to talk to Senator Ted Cruz about that, because I've read over the bill. I've read over every bit of it. It's like 48 pages, something like that. And there are some things in there that are there are a couple of things that are redundant. There are a couple of things, actually, that literally hit on exactly what I've discussed. I mean, and I'll give you an example of one of those. I want you to also pay attention to what Democrats are saying about this conversation, because remember, Democrats literally just last week, end of last week, like Thursday, actually, I think it was Friday, Thursday or Friday, they refused to allow gang members to be compiled on a quick and easy handy dandy database for law enforcement so that they could issue red flags for gang members. They said, no, there's no due process for these people. It's an abuse. Literally all the things that we have said over and over again when we're trying to prevent law-abiding people from being penalized. So with the Cruz-Grassley bill, one of the things that I've touched on is the compliance of the National Criminal Information System and NICS, right? NICS is the Instant Criminal Background Check System, right? That's that was the thing that was created to stop a bad guy at the point, or a bad girl, at the point of sale, so that they cannot obtain a firearm and then go do some serious stuff with it. They check their records, because there are multiple levels, multiple categories of prohibited possession. And it's not just guns, by the way. Like, if you commit any kind of crime, anything, and it's, you know, you have committed a felony and you've committed any kind of criminal act wherein the punishment is 1 year or more, well, that's going to get kicked over. You're going to be classified as such in the National Crime Information Center, which is operated by the Fed. You have ATF and FBI that have access to this. That's the federal database. That's what, when you fill out your form and it goes through the Rube Goldberg machine, that was created to stop bad things at point of sale, and the background check system has worked for the most part. There have been a lot of false positives, but it's, which is why you have a black market, which is further proof that the background check system has been working. And it also worked in the case of Midland and Odessa, which is why the guy went to the black market, because he was previously denied having been adjudicated mentally unfit. But the database includes all of these people. I can't tell you how many people, and I'm not talking about people that don't think like us, right? I'm not talking about people who are progressives or who are anti Second Amendment people who hate hunters, and they think that the only thing with which you should have to defend yourself is a butter knife and some mace that maybe sprays 3 feet. That's it. No, these are people who, they agree with us. They don't know this stuff because lawmakers refuse to tell them. There's no transparency with your government. And they say it would be great if there was a database of really dangerous, violent people. I'm like, there is. Literally, there is. That's literally the entire system. But they don't want you to think that there is. They want you to think that there's an absence of something so that they can create something else, right, in its place. So the Cruz-Grassley bill that we're going to talk to him about here coming up, this is a... It's a bill that, well, it's actually, let me give you the official title of it, because it has an official title. The bill itself, which is available, and I'm going to put this up on Facebook here momentarily, it is all about addressing gun homicide, and it's all about addressing straw purchases, trafficking, unlawful actions that are already considered to be unlawful, right? But they want, what they want to do is, the couple of things that we needed to do was increase penalties, or actually even just create them. Can I stop there? Because where are the penalties for agencies that are non-compliant by submitting all these records in, right? If you don't do something at your work, do you not get in trouble for it? Seriously, if you do something super bad, dangerous at work, and it results in the loss of life, you probably get in trouble for that. So why in the ever-loving hell are state and government and federal government agencies not getting in trouble for non-compliance that has literally and absolutely demonstrably led to loss of life? Why? You realize that it was a government worker in Charleston that messed up the city where that murderer lived in, and that is why he passed his background check. It wasn't a stupid loophole. No waiting period would have solved it, because the only reason they even found it was while investigating after he killed a bunch of people. So there are errors. So why is it that when you have someone who doesn't do their due diligence, there's no penalty for those individuals, but if you at your place of employment screw up, holy cow, you better lawyer up, right? That's one big problem. Second big problem is these agencies haven't been submitting these records in. They just don't do it. Not all of them do it. I've been talking about this for several years now. That's a huge problem. So those are a couple of things that are addressed, actually, in this Cruz-Grassley bill. And I have a couple of questions about it. We're going to save it for the senator, because he's going to be joining us later on. So, as I said, they are pushing... Democrats, they seized the Senate floor last night. They were protesting what they said was an action on firearm legislation. Meanwhile, the president is not going to, he's signaling that he's not going to support any kind of universal background check bill. Now, the background check bill, it's the Toomey Manchin bill. So that you need to understand there are several pieces of legislation right now. There were three bills specifically in the House. There's the Grassley-Cruz bill in the Senate. There's the other red flag bill that's being pushed by Lindsey Graham and Sidney Blumenthal in the Senate as well. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. But the Manchin-Toomey, well, the draft anyway, the draft of the legislation, this has been circulating around on the Hill. And in fact, it's actually being pushed by AG Bill Barr. And then Eric Ulan is the White House Legislative Affairs Director. They were in meetings yesterday in which Senator Cruz and you had Senator Josh Hawley, Mark Meadows, and a couple of other lawmakers. They were also expected to be there. Apparently, I don't know if the meeting happened. I heard that Barr had canceled it. I heard that it happened as well. But Barr does not consider criminalizing legal private transfers to be a gun control measure. Now, here's the problem that I have, because what you're doing in order, and also side note, there's an FFL addition somewhat in the and access in the database to that Grassley-Cruz bill that we're going to touch on too when I talk to him. But the universal background check bill and every single lawmaker that's been behind it, not a single one of these individuals, not a single lawmaker has been able to explain how it is that this, the criminalizing of already federally regulated private transfers, how it does not create a national firearms registry. They haven't been able to do that. And I want to be very, 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 very clear in all of this. And by the way, when this bill was apparently presented to Trump, he was very frosty about it. That's what the word is. And I actually was on the phone about 40 minutes ago with a friend who works on Capitol Hill and was saying that the president has been very frosty with regards to universal background checks. I don't know where it concerns red flag laws, but apparently this is not one of the things that he's sweet on. And I had noted earlier, if Republicans support and pass red flag laws, if they support, if the GOP supports criminalizing federally regulated legal private transfers, they will do more than Barack Obama has ever done in his entire two terms to push gun control. And that will be the Republicans' legacy going into 2020. Y'all want that? Because voters don't forget. And that's where I drew the line a long time ago, but that's an issue. That's where, I mean, I won't vote for people. I'm not even playing with you. I will not. You can be sweet on everything else. You deny me the right to protect myself. You set me up for a national firearms registry. To hell with you. Like I said, I'm not in this to be Earl's friend. I just want you to leave me alone. You do you, let me do me. We're not the problem here. The criminals are. Where are the proposals on recidivism? Okay, we got to get going because I can't stress Steve out anymore by not like breaking when I'm supposed to break, or Kane, because they're going to have heart attacks. And we just can't do that because they're nice people. All right, as we get moving on, Kel-Tec's some good friends of ours, and these folks make some really cool stuff, and they are innovative, and they support the things you support. They support your rights. They support the Second Amendment. They support, national reciprocity. These are all things that they like. But one of the other things that I love about this company, I mean, I've told you all the stuff that they've made, is that if you've ever wanted a story, like the all-American legal immigration story, it's Kel-Tec. Because George Kellgren, when he immigrated legally over here to the United States and created this company back in 1995, he began adding to the tax base there in Florida, Cocoa Beach, I believe, hired a bunch of awesome folks, bunch of veterans, promotes from within. Everyone's encouraged to contribute, which is why their stuff is just absolutely, you can't compare anything with it. And they have been doing it right the entire time. Privately owned family company. This is the American dream. This is what everybody goes for. And I love the story behind the firearms. I mean, they've, whether it's the KS7, their tactical shotguns, whether it's the very new, just came out, I think February was when it was made available, CP33, their 22LR, everything that they've done, you can tell that they think of absolutely everything for when you're at the range or for self-defense. And they have the patented downward shell ejection that Kel-Tec pioneers. They they also have, for instance, the KS7 and the CP33 are actually ambidextrous. With the CP33, you have, on the operating handle, you have the magazine catch and the safety, easily accessed, right or wrong-handed. The KS7, that one, you have the pump release right there in front of the trigger. So in front of the trigger guard, so you got easy release, cross-bolt safety. Check out everything that they have. KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, Arizona gun stores sell out of the Beto Special AR-15s in less than 4 hours. Alpha Dog Firearms in Phoenix, Arizona responded to Robert Bader O'Rourke's AR-15 confiscation pledge by running a Bader special, selling out of the gun. Sorry, I'm like Aldo the Apache in Inglourious Bastards. I'm going to say Bader, like that people would say Nancy in that movie. They're running a Bader special, and they sold out of them in a little under 4 hours. The sign advertising AR-15s for $395. The line was through the store. It was crazy. So it doesn't look like people are turning anything in. This is a very interesting study that actually came out. It was a British newspaper that published this, and they say that just last month, 53 Americans were killed in mass shootings, which is 53 too much, but 40,000 died from obesity. It was a new book called A Natural Causes, and there's some studies that go along with it. A forensic pathologist was observing, was looking at how people, what is affecting people and what is driving fatality, etc. And they said that it's actually obesity, 40,000 compared to, I'm just putting, because when everyone uses the justification, even if it saves just one life. I sent this story to my youngest son, who is a huge wildlife and marine, just obsessive person with it. A fisherman, 19-year-old fisherman, reeled in a weird dinosaur-like creature off of the Norwegian coast from the bottom about 26,000 feet down. And I forget what kind of specialized shark my son says this was, but it looks like an emoji with giant googly eyes. I don't even know how to. MSNBC's Al Sharpton botches Cokie Roberts' tweet. First off, he called her Cookie, and then he shared a photo of the wrong female reporter, Christiane Amanpour, who is still very much alive and very much different from Cokie. Not Cookie, but Cokie Roberts. He had tweeted, "Sad to hear the passing of legendary journalist Cookie Roberts. Here's an Easter Sunday special we did in 2011, and it's him with Christiane Amanpour." Wow. So, going on here. Yeah, there's going to be a Saved by the Bell sequel in which, apparently, Zach is the governor of California. Let's let him be a Republican. Zach Morris gets into hot water, though, in the show. Apparently, one of the things being floated is that he closed too many low-income schools, probably because they weren't competing and was trying to, you know, have school choice. Sounds kind of Republican-y. Anyway, that's one of the things, apparently, that's going direct to series. Stay with us.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
So what does the president do? He calls you in to do what everyone else wouldn't do. He called you in to do his dirty work in secret because he knew it was wrong. Well, we will expose the truth. The president cannot hide behind you any longer. And you should be here to be telling the truth,
General Lady Sadowski,
because the truth will set you free and the American people. I yield back.
The time of the gentlelady has expired. The witness may answer the question.
I don't believe there was a question, Congressman.
Very well.
Yes, there was.
Could you repeat the question? I didn't hear it.
I'd be happy to repeat the
question. Just a rant.
Can't repeat the question.
I'd be happy to repeat the question.
The gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman from...
Did you know the attorney general recused?
The gentleman from Ohio...
Well, that was Sheila Jackson Lee. Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not even a big fan of Corey Lewandowski. But am I supposed to be angry at the way he behaved? Maybe I just have a different view of this. I believe, yes, absolutely, decorum should be there. You should have decorum. I don't see how he was rude. Let me understand this. Sidebar. Here, guys, pull up a chair. So I actually got into a little bit of an argument with a friend of mine. Good friend. Is probably a little bit more heated because this friend, I just don't like Corey Lewandowski. This friend hates Corey Lewandowski. Hates. And they're an independent. They're not a hardcore Republican. They're a little bit more libertarian, but they're not a Democrat. You know what I mean? They're sort of there. Gotcha. And my friend had sent me, actually, the link to this video, and then had sent me and was just ranting. And it was in a group discussion with a couple of other people. And also sent me where he was going back and forth. Lewandowski was going back and forth with Jerry Nadler. In fact, I think we have this, where he was going back and forth with Jerry Nadler. And play this one. This is the other one. Play cut three.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Your behavior in this hearing room has been completely unacceptable. And it is part of a pattern by a White House desperate for the American people not to hear the truth. I have been asked several times today whether the committee will hold you in contempt.
Anyway, they had gone back and forth because Nadler had asked Lewandowski to answer a question. And then as he was answering it, Nadler decided to just monologue. And I was trying to figure out what in the world was happening here. Oh, and then also audio soundbite six. Play this because this is the other one that sent my friend over the edge. And this is when it got. This is when we started getting heated in our text. Go ahead, play that. Play
can
this
you read
one. Play
what you
it.
Wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to have you read it, Congressman.
Well, why don't you want to read it, Mr. Lewandowski?
I think you should afford me the same privilege you afforded Director Mueller.
Ooh.
Would you like to read it?
Oh.
No, you're welcome to read it.
Are you ashamed of the words that you wrote down?
President Swalwell, I'm very happy of what I've written, but you're welcome to read it if you'd like.
Are you ashamed to read it out loud?
You should have seen
I'm not ashamed of anything in my life, Congressman, are you?
Then why don't you read the words?
This is so stupid. Okay, so my friend sent this because my friend out of the group that we are, and I'm not going to give any names because I don't want y'all to go on Twitter and blow them up. I'm not even going to tell you what gender, what sex they are because I don't want y'all to blow them up. But my friend, you know, is a good friend and a good person and has always had my six and is a strong two-way person. So, you know, we cool. But my friend was like, you know, this was just ignorant and was saying that Lewandowski was just so ignorant here. Knowing full well my history with Swalwell, right? There's no way you are going to get me and not out of Schadenfreude. But out of the standards that these people have set, there is no way in Hades you're going to get me to be like, well, Swalwell should have been treated with respect here. Look, just because... Look. I have to play some menu. I'm getting mad again. I'll be damned. We're not even all the way through the show and I got to play Enya already. Yes, I do believe that you are respectful to leaders. But I will tell you this. When your leaders and when your authorities and your respective principalities and related realms begin threatening you with mass genocide using nuclear weapons, gonna say that it is then your duty to speak out against that.
I agree.
Okay. Now back to my point. My friend dropped that video in. It was that video. Actually, there was that video, the one where he was going back and forth. Don't play that because that one just made me mad. Where he's going back and forth with Jerry Nadler, and Nadler decided I'm going to monologue over you. And then the one that we first played, and my friend was like, he really should have just been, just more respectful here. And that's when I was like to Eric Swalwell, and my friend, I got to read it. And my friend had said, I'm going to just pull this up. I'm not going to say any names because that would be really not cool, but. I'm pulling my text up. I wasn't going to do this, now I'm doing it. Let me go back. Okay, said, yeah, super not cool the way that Lewandowski just behaved towards Swalwell. I used a barf emoji, and then I caps locked. And I said, I'm sorry, it sounds like you're upset that someone treated Swalwell the way that he treats them. And then it went off. And my friend concluded with, I can't even believe you're defending Lewandowski. Actually, I'm not defending Lewandowski. What I'm saying is, how long are you going to lie prostrate as people kick you? We have elected officials that work for us. Elected officials who apparently forgotten where they get the power to, from where they get the authority to determine laws that govern all of us. They believe that this authority of consent somehow has made them beyond reproach and has allowed them to treat us in contemptible ways. Talking about how we would be unlawful, horrible people if we, the innocent, did not allow them to take our lawfully owned property, or we would be horrible people if, oh, we'll just use nukes on you, etc. The treatment of some of these lawmakers, the treatment that they have used on law-abiding constituents is inexcusable. And I don't think that anyone sitting in that chair would have found themselves lying prostrate before a group of individuals that have referred to them as terrorists, that have referred to them as deplorables, that have called them racist simply for wearing red hats, that have defended the cause and behavior of Antifa while saying that somehow because you cast a vote for Trump, even if you were a Democrat, even if you were a black Democrat that supported Barack Obama and previously Bill Clinton, oh my gosh, if you voted for Donald Trump this last election, you might as well go pick up your Klan hood at the local Klan office if there is such a thing. And people were surprised that there was a little bit of civil resistance in that seat. Look, when you all have me defending Corey Lewandowski, that's something. I'm just saying. We are not best friends. I'm not a fan. But I think it's wrong for people to jump on him. And I keep saying, oh, well, this is the other thing. Oh, my gosh, this is where it totally went off the rails, y'all. My friend was like, you know what? This is what has happened under Trumpism. I'm going to need Enya, Kane. I'm going to need Enya. Maybe get me some Caribbean Blue by Enya. Something. Any Enya. Oh, this is good, too. I need to take a deep breath. Sorry, give me a minute. Okay. All right, I feel like I can continue. My friend had said, in a text no less, well, this is one of the effects. This is the effect that we have under Trumpism. I forget how they worded it. And I said, and I went on. It was one of those really super long texts that filled the screen. And my thumbs were flying. It was as if some righteous spirit had taken over my hands and my thumbs flew on my little tiny mini iPhone keyboard. And my response was, I'm sorry. Are you somehow suggesting that Trump is a magical being who was able to go back in time decades ago and encourage Democrats to begin treating constituents, treating voters, and particularly treating anyone who disagreed with them on policy or was across the aisle from them in political ideology in any way, to begin treating them in an inhumane manner, to begin impugning their characters, to begin besmirching their names and calling into question their motives and calling into question their associations and saying that if they simply disagreed on health care, they were racist. If they simply supported their right to self-defense, that they enjoyed the murder of school children. These particular individuals, Trump went back in time and laid out the blueprint for them to behave this way, which has resulted in the very civil resistance that you saw in that seat during the hearing yesterday. Do I have that correctly understood?
Sounds like it.
Because damn, he's never going to leave office then if he's that magical, right? That sort of excuse, saying, well, this is an effect of Trumpism, is excusing the behavior of Democrats that predates Trump by 50 years, I think it's probably fair to say. Not only that, but it diminishes the very real offenses felt most personally by voters across the country. You know, I have a great aunt who enjoys quilting, playing bingo, very proper woman. She voted for Trump. Carries a little revolver. Voted for Trump. This is a woman who, I think when you would originally speak with her, and if you knew of her, the things about which she has been vocal in the past, you would not peg her as a Republican. But she believes in equal opportunity, access to opportunity. She believes that everyone has the right to pursue happiness and everyone has the will to do it. And circumstances do not, and this is her big thing, circumstances do not determine outcomes. You do. You can rise above your circumstances. We have so many stories throughout American history, I am one of them, that prove this. She is too. Little blue-haired old lady is apparently a big giant racist because she stopped voting for Democrats and voted for Trump. So this is what I'm talking about. It excuses, and that was something, by the way, and it wasn't just her. There were a lot of people across the country who felt used and disposed of because one time they disagreed, they were thrown away. And here's the big thing, and I want everyone to very carefully listen, especially Democrats, especially if you're a drive-by listener. You know where that party failed? That party didn't do a postmortem. They didn't look at their errors in 2016. They didn't look at where they failed to meet voters where they are. They didn't meet voters where they are. They demanded voters come to them on bended knee. They didn't look at what was troubling voters. They didn't even think for one second that it was there, the Democrats' problem with messaging. They blamed the people that had supported them for a century. And then they scratch their heads and wonder why they're struggling. That whole brushing it off on Trumpism diminishes the real problem that their behavior and empowerment of extremists have caused. If they were smart and they wanted to really be successful, they would take inventory of that and they would change it. When Democrats met voters where they were successful. The moment they stopped, they began really sucking. We got a lot more. Oh my goodness. So much. And I'm also going to talk about how Democrats in Colorado are trying to cancel my speech at the University of Denver. So we're going to talk about all of that coming up. In the meantime, as we get moving on here, because we have, I told you, we're going to have Senator Ted Cruz coming up. And we're going to get into some of that legislation as well and walk you through everything that's going through the House and Senate. If you listen to this program, you know that I love my dogs. I'm a huge dog person. I actually, if you ask me, who's the best person you know, aside from some of my family members, excluding them, I'd say my dogs. My dogs are the best people I know because they're sweet. And I am a huge supporter of caring for animals and caring for your environment, ethical harvesting where it concerns hunting. But I really believe that, I think that you owe it to to stewardship, to do everything that you can to care for just, you know, the earth supply of animals. Let me put it like that. That's how my youngest son likes to say it. This is why I work with Delta Rescue. Delta Rescue is, well, it stands for Dedication and Everlasting Love to Animals. It's the biggest no-kill care for life animal sanctuary of its kind in the world. I'm going to be straight with you. So many animal sanctuaries, and I put that in air quotes, are total hypocrites. Don't sit here and tell me how much you save the animals when you kill them after like 15 to 30 days. Don't even get me started on it because the rest of the show is going to be me going off on that. Leo Grillo left Hollywood because he's so dedicated to this cause. He created this animal sanctuary that sits on top of a mountain. It's 115 acres. It's a mountaintop ranch that is a a haven for these animals that have been abandoned, that have been born in the wilderness, cats, dogs, horses, you name it. They have veterinarian hospitals, a full-time staff on the premises 7 days a week. And the Delta Animal Sanctuary, they're staffed by specially trained attendants who look after the animals. They get fed, they have fresh water, everything that they could ever want. And it is the largest no-kill animal sanctuary of its kind in the entire world. Join me in supporting them. For more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning vehicles, please visit deltarescue.org/Dana. It'll give you all the info you want to know about growing your estate through tax savings, and you can help build the size of your estate while letting your compassion for animals and stewardship for our environment live well on into the future. And everything you donate goes directly to the animals. Visit them. Donate today online at deltarescue.org/Dana. That's deltarescue.org/Dana.
It's the Dana Show.
So I wanted to thank all of you out there because you guys have really contributed into making this one of the top shows in the country. Amen. And in fact, we are one of the top 10 nationally syndicated radio programs in the country with over 7 million average unique weekly listeners. And even though I don't really like saying this, my husband's like, you should do it anyway. But I'm like, it just feels weird. I'm the top nationally syndicated radio talk show, female radio talk show host in the country. And I just wanted to thank all of you out there who have been with me. Either you've come in a couple of years ago or you've been with me from the very, very beginning, those early days in St. Louis when I started on Sunday nights. But your fellowship and your support has really meant a lot. Your kind words and your very encouraging emails sometimes on those days when the news cycle is tough, I find very much sustains me. So I want to thank you all for being such great supporters of this show. And also thank Kane and Steve for holding the ship down. No, for making sure I don't steer the ship into an iceberg some days when I don't want to break or when they find some audio that I've missed and they've you know, when they're dealing with guests and dealing with all the other stuff that you don't really hear on the radio. So thank you to you guys, too, and your contributions to making the show top 10 in the country. And it's only growing. So just wanted to say that. And I'm going to be speaking, and we're going to have more announcements on this as well, coming up in Denver, Colorado, on the topic of 2A. And it was just so funny because the Boulder County Democrats decided to try to go at me. I guess they didn't understand that whenever I worked with the NRA, that was a side thing that I did. And I left and wanted to continue supporting the Second Amendment outside of that. Radio and books have always been my main gig, but I got receipts. So the next time you think I have too much time on my hands, I'm just using you as content for my top 10 nationally syndicated radio show where over 7 million people are listening. Stick with us for the second hour. God bless.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
But the second part is to make sure that we provide basic health care for every American, and that includes the full range of reproductive rights for women and for men.
Wait, what the heck did I just hear? That's Elizabeth Warren. That's Pocahonky, who is, okay.
I call her Sacagawea.
See, if I were, by the way, I'm going to sidebar real quick because I'm going to come back to this. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at Dalash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. If I were going to be like a second member or another member, if I was going to join the Insane Clown Posse, I would be Pocahonky. That would be my ICP name.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
How would you do your makeup?
Hmm.
I think that's important.
I would do it how an entitled white progressive juggalo would see every stereotype with an American Indian. See what I mean?
I think it's weird that I know what that looks like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I could not move until we addressed that. So, Elizabeth Warren says, even men have a right to reproductive health care. So, Stephen Kane, why don't you go ahead, take this opportunity to go ahead and get your pap smears. Go ahead and get all that scheduled. Go really? Get your reproductive health all situated. Nice. Mm-hmm.
It's not comfortable. I'm not comfortable talking about this.
Go get your cervixes swapped.
I wonder where, like, what does she mean by that?
Just literally what I said.
So free condoms? Is that what she's saying? Like
reproductive health.
Yeah, it's.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's what she said. Do it. Go do it.
Or cheap vasectomies?
Probably not.
No.
No. Your reproductive health extends to what you can have done to you that women can do.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So go get your cervix a swap. Go on. Go schedule that appointment up.
So the massive biological differences in sex don't matter?
You are so, I don't even know the phobic thing, the prefix for the phobic on this part.
Phobic?
Yeah, because all of that is just determined by choice. See, you can magically think that you can just change your stuff by just identifying as something different. Golly, would you just, it's like 2019. Come on.
I know, I need to catch up.
It's a catch up with the times here. We're crying out loud. All right, so a few things that we're discussing and we're getting into here today. Some of the, I accidentally lost my place. Where's my, okay, here's remember. I have to share with you this crazy story. And I gave this as an example as to how, I have a couple things this segment. This is how gun violence is able to continue. Some dude carjacked a woman at gunpoint. This is in Texas. And the Harris County District Attorney gave the dude who carjacked a woman at gunpoint, who was a minor and a repeat offender, and this was his second carjacking with an illegally possessed gun. Get this. The DA, Harris County DA, gave him a reduced, quote, misdemeanor charge of criminal trespass in a motor vehicle. This is how repeat offenders are able to continue perpetrating and continuing and driving the crime rate. He was released even without paying bail. And this was all just days before shooting a Houston officer. He had been arrested for threatening to murder a woman during a carjacking, but it was released to that little bitsy charge, and he was released without bail. So, this is part of the problem. If individuals are having discussions about quote-unquote gun violence, and you do not include discussions on repeat offenders, the recidivism rate, and you have no plans at all whatsoever to stop things like the Harris County DA from reducing someone's charge, threatening to kill a woman and with you and was using an illegally possessed firearm in commission of a felony, was a minor. This was their second carjacking. And you give them a misdemeanor charge of criminal trespass in a motor vehicle and you allow them free without paying anything for bond. And then they go and shoot a cop days later. What deterrent have you established for them? I mean, where is the deterrent? KPRC Channel 2 in Houston had the story when they were talking about this particular suspect and laying out how it was that he was even, it was a campaign volunteer that was carjacked. These people were simply canvassing the neighborhood. They were passing out flyers for Travis McGee, a local barber, a longtime community activist, and they were threatened by this dude who said, "Get out of the car. I got a gun and I'll shoot you." And the woman said she wasn't going to mess around with it. And so they were charged criminal trespass in a motor vehicle. Oh, and then they were going to say aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. This is his second carjacking. And then he goes and shoots a cop. He shot a Houston police officer multiple times during a violent crime spree. He had been released from jail on his own reconnaissance just days before the attack. So this is, if you do not have a serious discussion and solutions for this, I mean, we can sit here and talk about incentives and penalties for agencies that don't comply with submitting records of prohibited possessors. That's fine. But can we talk about people who are in our justice system that are non-compliant? Can we talk about individual? How are you letting somebody out this dangerous? You're just letting them out without paying bail. How is this even happening? This happens in cities across the country. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, when the Chicago mayor was trying to say that there wasn't anything wrong with Chicago and it was everyone else who was bringing their gun problems to her city, I went and looked at, I mean, how many examples did I have of stories just like this? 15. And that was, I mean, just a quick search. This is the stuff that's driving it. And lawmakers don't want to address it. Why? And the Harris County DA, holy cow. All right, so that's how all of this violence and all of this is driven, by the way. One of the other things we're watching is this crazy story with regards to Ilhan Omar and a deleted tweet. So you know that Ilhan Omar has gotten herself into some trouble because she she got in trouble because she was using campaign dollars to go and try to pay for a lawyer to settle some tax stuff because she was married to a guy and then filed taxes with another guy. It was just really, really confusing. And she needed to hire a tax attorney for it. And so she used her campaign dollars, people that had donated money to her campaign, she used that money to do so. And then that ended up getting her in a lot of trouble because that is actually a violation of campaign finance law. So she had to pay a fine for this. And then because of that, there were a lot of other questions that were asked about some of the stuff that was going on in her life. Like, why is so technically you're married to two people? So this is what this is? You're married to two separate people? So she, let me set the stage here. This is what ends up happening. So she had deleted a tweet from Father's Day from 2013. This is where it started. She had tweeted at 8:15 a.m. on Father's Day of 2017, quote, "Happy Father's Day to my Abo Nursed. I am forever grateful to Allah for giving me the best father." Okay, so she deleted a Father's Day greeting, right? But that she was saying Nur Sayyid was her father. She said, "My Abu Nur Sayyid. I'm grateful to Allah for giving me the best father." Nur Sayyid is her father. Surnames are the father's names in most Muslim Middle Eastern countries. And Ahmed Nur Sayyid, to whom she is married. Well, wait, what? So a lot of people started asking questions, including verified journalists. Luke Rosiak said the deletion of the post is as much evidence of fraud as the post itself is. Why would someone delete a post wishing their father a happy Father's Day unless it incriminates her line and basic aspects about her life? The thing that to which she's being accused isn't that she just simply married her brother and there's a weird thing going on there. It's that she maybe did so to violate immigration law and get him into the United States. So that's the accusation. And the reason it came up was because of the investigation into her using, and she already had to pay a fine because they found evidence that proved she was guilty of her using her campaign money to hire a tax lawyer because she was married to someone while filing taxes with someone else and trying to get all that squared away. And she had to pay a fine for that. And so local media and other national media folks started researching into it. I mean, that's, you know, you are an elected official in the United States House of Representatives. You are accountable for certain things. And I think that that's totally fine. And it should be that same way for Democrats or Republicans. But she said that questions about it, this came from her staff. We read the verbatim statement. They said that any questions about this are Islamophobic and racist. So anyone asking any questions about this, they're proving their racism. That's what they stated. So now this is bringing up even more questions because even people who write for, whether it's New York Post, for instance. The New York Post was even asking questions about this. Like, why did you delete this tweet? The guy who has the same name as your brother, it's just, okay, this is weird. And now a ton of questions are coming in about this and whether or not she actually did violate federal immigration law. And a spokesperson for Omar, in response to all of these questions that started bubbling up, this is the response they sent. Now, remember how I told you they said earlier questioning of her campaign finance violation was racist? Okay, here you go. They wrote, this is the spokesperson for Representative Ilhan Omar, quote, Representative Omar and her family are subject to constant threats. When people write vile things on posts about people she loves, including posting disturbing doctored images of her father, she takes them down. Noor Saeed means happy light, and it's been her dad's nickname since he was a kid. He has a public page with the same name. She isn't deleting it for the disturbing and hateful reasons that are being implied by the conspiracy theorist, and legitimate media outlets shouldn't be spreading conspiracy theories. So it's weird because if Noor Saeed is a nickname, I mean, now there were other journalists. I mean, we're not talking about people who are just conservative entities here. You're looking at New York Post and others that are saying, well, odd, because Noor Saeed is literally part of her ex-husband's legal name. So how does that work? Luke Rosiak is investigating it now. And he said that this is from a woman who just weeks ago looked a local TV reporter in the eye and swore she was not separated from her current husband after having an affair with her campaign consultant, which is well documented. So, and then Luke Rosiak went and discovered she has a sister whose father's legal name per her marriage certificate is Noor Saeed Elmi. And it showed that she grew up in the same tiny London neighborhood as her ex-husband. Social media posts from them prove that they're family. And he says, lest it be claimed that she merely called Lila her sister, that's the woman's name, or slang for in-law or friend. This came during the period during which Omar swore under oath she had no contact with any of the ex-husband's family, did not know any names of his family members. So there's a lot of questions here that she needs to answer, because if she violated federal immigration law, well, then she needs to answer to that. And you can't sit here and dodge it and say, well, it's racist to ask. It's not how this stuff works. And the Democrat Party shouldn't allow her to do it anyway. We have a lot more to get into. Coming up, we have some Florida man for you. And we're also going to talk to Senator Ted Cruz later on in the program. Maybe you are in the market for wireless earbuds. And if you are, I want to tell you about Raycon. I know that there are a lot of wireless earbuds on the market, and I've listened and I've either purchased some of them or I've listened to them, and I've just not been happy. Even the ones that everyone says are so awesome and they have the big giant logos all over them. I mean, honestly, it just sounds awful. The audio is awful and it's pointless to even take them on a plane, and they're uncomfortable in the ear and they're gaudy. And then you have the Apple earbuds that they have stems. I just don't understand this. Anyway, Raycon, first off, these are luxury quality wireless earbuds. I don't know how else to put it. They are half the price of the other earbuds out there because Raycon's not trying to take advantage of you and act pretentious and snotty and overprice their products. And even though they could, because I think their earbuds sound better than their competitors out there. Not only do they sound better, they're discreet, they're comfortable in the ear, and you can custom fit them to your ear. They send you with their product, it's all a part of it, these different size gel pads that are to snap right on to your wireless earbuds from Raycon. They fit perfectly in the ear. It helps to customize the fit, and it also provides an extra layer of noise cancellation. These are the only earbuds that I've ever been able to wear on a plane and actually hear things like from my iPad or my phone, because most everything else, I mean, it's just impossible with the noise in the cabin. You can go to buyraycon.com/Dana and get 15% off your order. Now, they make several different kinds. I personally have the Raycon E50s. Go and see. They got different colors, all at an unbeatable price. Buyraycon.com/Dana to get 15% off your order. As conservatives, we stand together to fight for our freedoms. And while we have far more members at Patriot Mobile than a Joe Biden campaign rally, we need you to join us today to support your values. Patriot Mobile provides reliable nationwide cell phone coverage. Keep your phone number, bring your own phone, or buy a new one. For a limited time, you can buy a Moto Z3 Play for only $10 a month and get one free when you activate two new lines of service. This is not fake news. You can buy a Moto Z3 Play and get one free. This feature-rich phone has a large screen, high-quality camera, extended battery life, and an expandable storage option. With unlimited plans starting as low as $25 a month, don't wait. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based team at 877-367-7524. You'll love speaking with patriots that passionately believe in freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and the sanctity of life. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their team at 877-367-7524.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
Ooh, ooh. Let's go ahead and take it in headlines.
All of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here. So, a couple couple of newer headlines, too. Prosecutors say an ISIS propaganda video was found on the phone of an American Airlines mechanic who allegedly sabotaged a jetliner. Do you remember the story of Abdul Mahid Maruf Ahmed Alani, who has the longest name ever? Well, via Twitchy, who's cataloged a bunch of reporting from a bunch of different South Florida entities, they say new evidence has come to light suggesting he was had potential terrorism sympathies, and the federal judge hearing the case has denied his bail. They cited this new evidence wherein they apparently found ISIS propaganda video found on his phone, the same guy accused of sabotaging that flight at Miami International Airport. Holy cow. Just crazy. And it goes on. That really is actually quite frightening. Moving on, are blueprints for 3D printed guns protected by the Constitution? A U.S. judge is considering that very question in a case that could potentially make its way towards the Supreme Court. Everyone's waiting for the answer from this judge, and it's going to address the balance of power between states and federal government, as well as ruling on whether or not digital blueprints constitute as free speech, which so far the ruling is that they do. Vice President Mike Pence's Triple Crown winner American Pharoah bit him during a visit to Kentucky. American Pharoah manager denied the horse bit Mike Pence. I don't know. And Pizza Hut debuts a giant Cheez-It filled with cheese. Stick with us.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at danaradio.com.
One of the reasons why I ran for Congress is to fight for the healing and the justice of all survivors. One in 16 women, of course, we know this is not a genderized crime, and sexual assault is a crime, but a crime disproportionately perpetuated onto women. And one in 16 women, their first sexual experience was rape. This is a public health crisis, an epidemic. I see it also as a social justice issue. And it's deeply concerning that someone who serves on the highest court of the land could have this many allegations.
Oh, so wait. It doesn't matter whether they're guilty. It only matters how many allegations they have. Oh. Well, my gosh, what concerns me with lawmaker Arianna Presley, this congresswoman here, I just heard she beats puppies. Oh, did you hear that too, Kane?
I hope she can disprove it.
I mean, that's two allegations right there. It is very disturbing to me that a sitting member of the House of Representatives can have this many allegations against them for animal abuse.
I'm with you.
I mean, we just got to do something. You see how this works? Stop red flagging people. That's what this is. It's a giant red flag. I'm going to use that for everything now. Because it is true. By the way, speaking of that, it's true. This idea that it's not evidence, it's accusation. Accusation is not evidence. We understand this, right? Everybody's in agreement? Wait, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Everyone with brain cells is in agreement, correct?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. That makes it better. Good in the heavens. It isn't, though. See, it's evidence is evidence. Accusations are accusations. This is not, I'm just actually kind of shocked that this has to be explained. And the Kavanaugh thing is going on. Realize that you have two impeachment. It's impeachment madness. First, you had vapor madness because everyone wants to ban the vape stuff, which I still think is stupid. I mean, if you want to huff on a muffler, it's bad for you. Don't ban cars, though, because somebody else wants to huff on a muffler. Stop it. Don't. If it's bad for you, that's a bad choice that you're going to make. Don't do it. But you have the impeachment stuff with regards to the Kavanaugh and the Trump at the same time. So they had the House impeachment hearing. The first part of that started yesterday, and now they want to have an impeachment hearing for Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. So every single time something happens that Democrats don't like, the answer is to impeach it. Well, dang.
Or lie about it severely in the news.
But no, it's all impeach. I don't like what you did there, so let's impeach. Wait, what? We're going to impeach it. We're actually going to impeach.
In this case, they made up what Kavanaugh did in order to impeach.
Well, they
did. Didn't even do anything.
We're going to impeach you over these things here. Look at this woman. We just pulled her out of the line over here. She was coming just as part of a tour script at Tour of the Capitol, she's also accused you, Brett Kavanaugh. There's another allegation right there. It is so disturbing. It's almost like it's evidence. Except it's not, but it is. We're going to impeach. This is the party of impeachment.
The one claiming, the one they're claiming has this claim against Kavanaugh doesn't even doesn't want
to
be a part of it.
I need to ask a question. You're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
You're going to really hate it, and what? Steve's going to be greatly amused.
Oh, man.
So, I was just reading through, because yesterday we talked to Carrie Severino, who did the Kavanaugh book, and remember how Deborah Ramirez, hers just never made sense to me.
Right.
And she didn't even remember it happening.
Right.
Because apparently someone grabbed Kavanaugh's junk and was said to have put it in someone else's hand.
Right.
How does one just casually do that?
It's not a casual thing.
I mean, that's...
It's not casual.
Without you being aware of it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, male copulatory organ. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. That's...
In my 20s, I did some drinking. I'm not going to brag about it, but I'm going to tell you that nothing like that ever happened.
Hey, Steve, you're a young guy. This is now where this is going to switch, and you're going to be amused, Kane. Steve's going to hate us. He's going to pretend not to be there. Steve, are you there?
Yep.
He's
not looking forward to it.
At any of the parties you've ever been to, sure. No one has accidentally grabbed someone else's junk and shoved it into someone else's hands, correct? I don't even know how that's possible.
No, not to my knowledge. Answer was much more I didn't go to any of those types of parties.
I was hoping you answered faster. No.
It's just, I'm not saying that it's not possible, but...
I'd be well aware if I even got close. That's let's just
okay, so here's my other question for both of you people, both of you who are males. Who was assaulted first? If you have someone accidentally grab someone else's junk and put it in someone else's hand, would not the person who had their junk grabbed be the first person who's actually assaulted?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
The one possessing the junk.
Right.
That was pushed.
Because if someone had to grab your junk to get it in someone else's hand, that sounds like you didn't offer it.
It's a true statement. Do we have something else to talk about?
I feel as though it's important to have some nuance to this conversation.
How about those interest rates, huh?
Right. Thank goodness the Fed decided to cut 0.25%.
We're going to get to that. But the junk, though, it's important. This is the state of our politics. Our politics is one giant... male copulatory organ conversation.
Being pushed in the hands of the American people.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Oh my gosh, it's a meme. Here's a hand. Here's a male copulatory organ.
No.
The American people. No. Is this politics? It's the butterfly meme.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
It's the butterfly meme where the guy's like, is this, that's it, the butterfly is the junk? And then the guy with the hands is the American people. Is this politics? I mean, that's what it is. Right there. All right. Oh. But I felt like it was important to say that because everyone is... if there was a victim, I would think, what about the dude who had his junk grabbed?
Right.
You know, for crying out loud. That just seems like that's...
I think we've hit our daily limit on the word junk for the day.
Right.
Well, you know, I didn't make everyone have a stroke by just even clinically using the clinical, super accurate medical term.
Appreciate that.
The correct anatomical term for that. I literally used three words to describe something that really could have been done with one four-letter word, but I didn't. Or a five-letter word, which is more clinical. Anyway, moving on, because you guys are about to stroke out here, no?
Let's not use that phrase.
I didn't mean it like that. I am the most unintentionally Freudian person ever.
Move on. More content.
So apparently, CNN is done with your thoughts and prayers. Oh. Yeah, they wrote, this is a tweet from them. Thinking of sending your thoughts and prayers to those affected by a tragedy or natural disaster? Not everyone wants them. While Christians value these gestures from religious people, some atheists and agnostics want to avoid them, a new study finds. Wow, someone was like, this is news. And they wrote it. And then they typed it up on Twitter.com and hit send. No, play it. This is CNN. Let's do it. Yeah. This is CNN.
Bring you a special broadcast.
Screw your thoughts and prayers. It's like if Ron Burgundy was writing at CNN. He wrote this story. Well, wait, if you're an atheist, Who cares if someone says thoughts and prayers? You don't believe in it. So they're like magical invisible arrows that don't penetrate you. So what's your problem? Someone sent me something I don't believe in. Okay, have a great day. So? Why do you have to be a jackwagon? Why do people have to be jackwagons about it? Seriously. This is just literally a measurement of your douchiness.
Wait, here's the real one.
This is breaking news.
That is it. Screw your thoughts and prayers.
So what happens? Like, where do they think? Like, show me on the doll where the thought or the prayer hurts you. Or that you don't want it. Like, I don't get. Like, I just sent two prayers and a thought. Like, is that a bad thing?
Look where your thought bruised me. I got a bruise on my arm from your thought.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
And the one with the G in it, not the T-H-O-T.
Oh.
Yeah. We have to really be careful.
Yeah, that's good.
Your prayer kicked me in the shin. I mean, seriously, there's no damage to you. Who's upset over getting a thought in prayer?
And how do you know?
She prayed for me. I'm so hurt.
How do you know that you got it?
Yeah, I know. I just prayed for someone and I'm not going to tell them.
How they plan on stopping?
I know.
Like, I don't get any of this.
Maybe I mean it sounds like an Avengers skit. I mean, it Christians aren't Thanos. You know, you're not gonna deteriorate because someone said a prayer for you. Heaven forbid, right? I am fascinated by this. I mean the fact that first off, someone studied this. Someone legit studied this thing, and they decided, I guess, let's talk to some atheists about getting thoughts and prayers. What do these people have to say? Right.
Let's
scotch,
ask Muslims,
scotch, scotch.
Ask Muslims what they think of bacon. Let's go there.
It just is that anyone would find it offensive is so hysterical. I'm not even offended that they find it offended. I find it hysterical. It is the funniest dang thing.
This is how bad they want to be thought police.
Wait, I mean, with a G?
Oh, wait, yes, with a G. G-H-T.
Okay, yeah. So they actually got paid $5 to be used in an experiment about thoughts and prayers. So how does this work?
They paid people to pray and think. That's real. That's real.
Hold up, I'm sorry.
They paid people $5 to pray and think.
No. Hold up. To participate in the experiment about thoughts and prayers.
Right.
And then they base what? So, oh my gosh. They decided to measure how people valued thoughts and prayers from Christians and non-Christians or whatever. I don't care. And they said that non-religious people, they looked and they said that subjects were paid a fee to compensate them for their time and an additional $5 used in the experiment. They were then asked how much money they were willing to give in exchange for prayers from a priest or Christian stranger. So like,
that's a different conversation.
Or thoughts from both non-religious or religious strangers. The Christians in the experiment valued a prayer from a Christian stranger at $4.36. This is the stupidest experiment ever. No, I'm not. They said a prayer from a priest was even higher, with $7 average. And some Christians negatively valued thoughts from non-religious strangers. They said atheists, however, took things in a totally different direction. They were willing to pay almost $2 to avoid prayers from a priest, and more than double that price to avoid one from a Christian. Okay, so, Anne? Why don't we just do this? Why don't we put people in a room and have cameras everywhere and whatever, infrared, and then have people pray and see if it makes a bruise on their body when people pray for them? Them a good thought. Don't you dare send me your good thoughts. Don't you do it. And then you hold your hand up to your head like Dark Phoenix whenever she's like trying to mind control something. You just Dr. Xavier, when you're trying to mind control something, that's you sending a good thought to someone, and then all of a sudden like a whelp is on their arm.
I'm against the idea of a suggested retail price for thoughts and prayers. What are we doing?
Churches have been doing it for years.
Really?
I'm joking. Not all of them.
Honestly, though, this isn't The Price is Right. Nobody puts a monetary value.
I get so much hate mail now.
But that's the but that's the thing. There is nobody puts a actual money value on the thought and prayer. Nobody says this is worth $10.
Well, heck, can we do it? Because I'm all about starting that business.
Right. But then you get a bunch of
one thought, $7. A prayer is $10. I mean, seriously.
Prayer for me is only $9, though.
Right? And then if you want, you can buy like a package of prayer.
Oh, a prayer package.
Prayer package. I cannot believe no one's done this.
Man.
This is an app.
But it's
where's my husband at? I want to get this app. I want to make this an app. I'm just yelling randomly.
I don't agree with the suggested retail price.
No. I'm always a capitalist, right? Do you want people to, are you in a time of need? Let's pray. And then like, here's your certified I mean, let's. I mean, I would risk someone. I'm not seriously trying to. I'm not being blasphemous. I'm just responding in part to people. Not. I bet you know.
No, no, and I get it. I just don't. I think that it's disingenuous to align a retail price.
I agree.
To something that is thoughtful and mm-hmm. you know is supposed to be positive.
I agree. I agree. I completely agree, Kane. Sending you some good thoughts.
Thank you.
Maybe he put two prayers and a thought in someone else's hand, and that's how it happened.
And you pushed it. That's what it was.
Oh my gosh.
Pushing prayers and thoughts into other people's hands.
For this prayer package, I mean, seriously, that's what Benny Hinn does all the time. I mean, let's be real. Yeah, you know, true. I mean, oh man, I'm really trying to control my tongue here.
We have to go to break, thank goodness.
Prosperity gospel. What? I can't. There's a glitch in the system. All right, we got to get moving on. As we do. I didn't even have my soft chews today, by the way. I am this much of a smart aleck without them right now. I feel like we need more smart aleck. So I'm going to have some soft chews when we're done just to, you know, boost up my energy and that even more. If you were one of those people who emailed me and was all, Dana, I don't know if I can drink the Super Beats drink. It looks like something a vampire would drink, and it's beets. Even though I hate beets more than you, and it didn't taste like beets, but whatever. Try the soft chews. Super Beets has this brand new product. It's like eating a Starburst. I don't know how else to describe it. Super Beets soft chews are going to give you all the potent heart health benefits of Super Beets packed in two convenient, delicious soft chews. You can take them wherever you go. And they come with a new breakthrough ingredient, grape seed extract. Now, grapeseed extract supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in the body. In fact, the grapeseed extract used in Super Beets soft chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. And they don't just use like any old grapeseed. They went to the Loire Valley in France. They legitimately did. It's a highly concentrated premium grapeseed sourced only from one place, and that is a world-renowned area. So boost your heart health easily and on the go with Super Beets soft chews. Get your Super Beets soft chews today by visiting danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617. When you buy two bags, they'll give you the third for free. It's awesome. danasbeets.com, 800-664-5617.
It's the Dana Show.
I love Joni Roten. All right. You know what it's time for, don't you? Oh, yes, you do. Let's go check up on our Florida peeps.
What? It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Oh, Florida man climbs the news station tower and causes the news station to shut down. And then he gets reported on the news station. Look at that. Click Orlando. It was WKMG News 6 in Orlando. The police had to close the parking lot at News 6 on John Young Parkway because Florida man decided to climb all the way up the 400-foot tower outside the station. And the authorities had to close access in and out. They had to get the guy down. News 6 traffic anchor witnessed him. He was wearing gym clothes and a backpack. He went into a secured area before climbing the tower. He got 300 feet up the tower before stopping, and then he decided to continue on. Police believe they identified him. They say he has a known history of mental illness. They talked to his family. They kept saying, look, we're just trying to help you. We're just here to help you. They just wanted to get the guy down safely. They say that they have engineers that routinely scale the tower for maintenance work, but they always wear safety equipment and a harness. They still have no idea why the guy climbed the tower, but he ended up getting reported on the news over it. So hopefully he actually gets the help that he needs. Florida woman got upset in a drive-thru and attacked Burger King employees. Oh, my. This police department of Florida, West Colonial Drive, said investigators are looking for a woman who was accused of attacking Burger King employees on 9/11. Police said that around 1:45 p.m., the woman became upset in the drive-thru of Burger King. Investigators say, oh, no, she wasn't having this. She parked her car, went inside, and caused a disturbance, hitting several employees and damaging store property. So they shared a photo of the woman and the red car that she left in, and they're asking people to call them. It was a 2014 Dodge Charger. I said, she had a decent car. It was a nice car. But she gets out, man. She was all loaded for bear. Goes up there and is going to shut it down. Apparently, one of the employees said that she was upset about food quality. Tomorrow, I'll tell you about a Florida man who stole a bird from a bird store. We got a lot of other stuff. Don't go anywhere. Third hour and Senator Ted Cruz coming up.
You get a tax break for a racehorse. Why in God's name couldn't we provide an $8,000 tax credit for everybody who has child care costs. It would put 720 million women back in the workforce. It would increase the GDP, to sound like a wonk here, by about 0.8%.
So I am really fascinated. That was Joe Biden, Corn Pop's enemy. Welcome back to the show. At D. Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. We have Senator Ted Cruz coming up later in the hour. So Joe Biden apparently just added a bunch more people to the U.S. population, because apparently, what is it? We only have like a little over, it's like 334 some odd million, I forget. Million, I don't know.
350 million, you can round it like that. I mean,
That seems, okay, well.
It's not 400.
720 million women back into the workforce. We're going to put pretty much double the population
of just women.
Of just Earth, of just the United States. Just double the population of the United States, all women. We're going to put all those people back in that. I don't know. Do you think that he's just, I don't know. Is it, do you think he's lost it? Is that what it is? He just doesn't, he's, I don't want to say too old, because I think that's so stupid, but he is like 70 something.
I don't want it to be an environment where we can't, as human beings, just make mistakes and it just be that.
Right. That's, you know, kind of where, like, I am.
There is a lot he's got.
Can I just say, I feel like it's people criticizing other people over simply messing up certain things. It's like watching the Olympics and you on the couch eating potato chips and criticizing all the figure skaters and gymnasts. Look at that person with that triple salchow. I mean, can you believe it? I mean, that just was the worst triple salchow I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad. We all do it. Shut up. You know, we all do it.
Armchair quarterbacks.
But I'm just saying, it kind of feels the same way, because when you're a politician or when you're in public life, period, everything you do is scrutinized. Everything. I mean, I've even had entire articles written about my tops, for crying out loud. I wore a black jacket and somebody wrote an article about it. So I get it. Instead of maybe all these journalists writing pieces about it, maybe, I don't know, someone could be like, yeah, Mr. VP, former VP, did you really mean 20 million women? Because it's a lot. That's like double the population of men and women in the United States.
I now wonder what other numbers is he a little or fudgy women. On? Like, what other numbers is he fudgy on? It's kind of important to me.
Great question. So there you have it. Well, I am, I'm just a little fascinated by all that. It's just kind of funny. So I just don't think that we should just constantly try to go back.
I mean, he's given us
get people
most.
On little things like that.
Is that fair to say?
Because we always do it whenever people say it about Trump, because Trump says he sometimes does this stuff. Everybody does. There's not a person who doesn't, unless you're a robot. Just stop. Good heavens. And it's because of this 24/7 culture that we have with it, right? All right. So I have some things. I wanted to share this. I wanted to share this for so long, and I actually forgot to do it yesterday. Do you guys remember when we made fun of that? Well, it was written by a comedy writer named Patty Keaton. And he's this guy who has written for a bunch of different places. And he did the... He said I forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Olive Garden commercials and asked it to write an Olive Garden commercial. I mean, you remember this? And that went everywhere. People were doing like videos of it and everything. He said he got famous because he said, he writes for a bunch of things, but he said, I forced a bot to watch 1,000 hours of Olive Garden commercials and then asked it to write an Olive Garden commercial of its own. Here's the first page. And it was ridiculous and hysterical. Okay, so, well, he did it again. He writes, I forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of the Democratic debates and then asked it to write a Democratic debate of its own. Here's the first page. Interior, Electoral College campus. A group of moderators toss questions at candidates who all want to sleep for 4 years in America's whitest house. Moderator 1. Democracy is good, debatably. Let's ask tall questions and loudly talk. Should USA legalize being healthy? Bernie Sanders, Vermont's oldest tree, uses 1% of his words. Bernie Sanders. Americans go bankrupt from looking at a doctor. Bills are not good pills. We need Medicare for Paul. This awakens Joe Biden, former president of Vice. Joe Biden. Health insurance is fun to pay for. When I was Barack Obama, nobody got sick or dead. And what was the question? Andrew Yang boots up. He is a startup with limbs of cash. Andrew Yang. Money is alive. I will turn America into a website with a constitution. Bernie Sanders. I wrote the damn constitution. Yang uploads $1,000 to Sanders for acknowledging him. The money is melted by Marianne Williamson, the crystal candidate. Marianne Williamson. The only wallet is the mind. A rainbow told me that in the future. Moderator 2, in the slang of Spanish. Ooh, I too own ponderings. Violence keeps happening, can it not? Elizabeth Warren, manager of Massachusetts, raises her voice. Elizabeth Warren. I taught a school. I'll give violence a bad grade. Expel the guns. Murderers get extra homework. Joe Biden. I went to a school. Obama school. Biden did not hear what he has ever said. Yang has left to use an ATM. Kamala Harris arrests the audience. End scene. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was almost verbatim how it went the last debate.
Yeah, it pretty much was. Yeah. I mean.
It's pretty good.
A rainbow told me in the future. I went to a school, Obama school. That's pretty good. But that, yeah, you're right. It was. It was pretty much just like that. Just distill it all down to its essence. It's just that way. Oh, God bless America. I've been waiting to do that forever. I saw that. I had that yesterday and I'm like, oh, we got to do this. We got to get this done. All right, some of the other things that we're looking at. Here's some politically correct BS. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Brandon Morris, over at Red State, who, because I play Call of Duty, I play some Call. And I'm not going to tell you what my handle is, because what my username is, because no, I'm just not. I'm not going to do it. It's just a very random name, and it actually was kind of perfect. But because I have people who are like, would you? Nope, that's okay. Not because I mean, just because I just don't want people thinking that, you know what I mean? I just play. I had a couple of people get mad at me over it. But my friend Brandon Morris said that the person, it's this piece over at IGN, and it says Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, and the Cruel Realities of White Phosphorus. And so my friend Brandon Morris, because I thought, can we stop with the political correctness? He says that the guy who wrote the article is actually a Reset Era board member who advocated for throwing milkshakes on political opponents. So he says, in effect, virtual violence is bad, but actual violence is okay if it's against right-leaning people. And the guy writes this piece and he's trading on. And look, you can appreciate someone's service and then think you're so completely wrong. And can you not trade on that as a way to appeal to authority to make it like your opinion is more valuable than someone else's opinion? And he says, you know, I just basically he's saying that video games are, you know, people can't tell the difference, you know, and they shouldn't glorify violence and people can't tell the difference between this and like going out. What? I play video games and I've hunted. I don't get out to do as much as I'd like because I'm literally traveling or speaking or on a book deadline. So that's kind of how it is. So occasional hunter. If anyone thinks that harvesting from nature, first off, if that's anything like playing a game, or if anyone thinks that war is anything like playing a game, oh my gosh, you have a very low respect for the intelligence of American people. And there are how many millions of gamers in the United States? Way more. I mean, there's more gamers probably than what people who own firearms, I would dare say. And what? There have been numerous studies that have shown absolutely no link at all whatsoever between tendencies of violence and playing video games. And I'm so tired of it because it's switching one variable out for the other. You're switching gun control for game control. Stop it. It's one thing after another. First, and now we're looking at vaping. Now we're looking at games. I mean, stop banning everything. It's what it is. Vapor madness, gamer madness. It's the same thing. Reefer madness, vapor madness, gamer madness, madness. So I was reading through this article and I thought it was naive and I thought it was just, again, you're assuming the lowest, it just shows no respect for people who play and realize the difference between what is a video game and what is in reality. And with a lot of these games, look, we play games and I've played games since college. I played, my gosh, actually longer than that. I mean, I remember when I was really young and it was the late 80s, early 90s, and my cousin had Atari. E.T. was the worst game on that. That was just the worst game ever. What was the other one where the dude hopped on these different colored boxes? I can't even remember that.
Qbert?
Qbert. Yeah. Qbert, E.T. I played stuff on, I watched him play stuff on the Atari, and then sometimes he would let me play. And then I got, I remember when I got my very first Nintendo. I'm like, oh my gosh, I played Mario Brothers incessantly. And then it went from there, and I played Silent Hill and Doom, which is my favorite, and what now, Skyrim, Call of Duty. I mean, all, the thing is that, and again, I play occasionally. I'm not, it's not an every night thing. It's not an everyday thing. And the idea that you want to, I feel like they're trying to subject this to some sort of regulation as a way to show that they're trying to do something about violence. Which, again, there's no study that supports that at all. There's none. Absolutely none. And the people who are arguing for game control are using the exact same arguments that gun control advocates use. But they're using it on games. I mean, it is the exact same argument. Everyone wants to look at something that is not related to the core problem.
And all the while, we're ignoring the person and the issues that the person who wants to commit these horrific acts, what they're going through, what their mind is doing. So we need to focus on that, I think.
Yeah. So a couple of other things. Now, so those women who wrote that stupid anti-Kavanaugh book and screwed it up in the New York Times and then even wrote a tweet for the New York Times where they screwed that up. Now they say that it's Fox News's fault. In fact, Robin Pogobin, whatever her name is, said how Fox News twisted the Kavanaugh scandal in a way to attack the New York Times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what they did. I mean, they're blaming it now, and it's Fox News's fault. Their stupidity is all Fox News. This New York Times reporter and this co-author of this book, they found a way to screw up the Kavanaugh story and also simultaneously blame Fox News. Craziness. It's just, so coming up, we've got a lot in store. We have headlines, and then Senator Ted Cruz is going to join us to discuss the Cruz-Grassley bill, which is looking at Second Amendment protections and also trying to come up with ways to end or solutions for the quote the violence problem that's happening, which, by the way, still is rare. It is still rare, despite what anti-gun advocates would like you believe. It's called the Protecting Communities and Preserving the Second Amendment Act of 2019. So we're going to talk about that and more as we get moving on. Patriot Mobile, it's my cell phone service, and I'm proud to work with them because they are the only conservative cell phone service in the country, the only provider. And what they do is not only provide you with amazing, just coast to coast, crystal clear coverage, but they also, in addition to that, make sure that you have your money working for the things you believe in. They're not going to take your money and donate it to things like gun control or Planned Parenthood. And honestly, that's what these big mobile phone companies do. They support First and Second Amendment rights, family values, small government, and pro-life. They have a bunch of different specials. You can buy a Moto Z3 Playphone right now for only $5 a month. And when you switch today, you can get a Moto Z3 Playphone for only $5 a month while supplies last. Great, reliable nationwide coverage. Keep your phone number. Get a new phone number. It doesn't matter. They have no hidden fees. And you can get an unlimited plan. They start at like $25 a month, and I have an unlimited plan. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 1-877-367-7524. It's patriotmobile.com/Dana.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So, Democratic donor Ed Buck arrested on drug charges after a new overdose at his West Hollywood home. KABC Channel 7 in LA has the story. Democratic donor Ed Buck, who was subject to protests and calls for prosecution in the overdose deaths of two men at his West Hollywood home, was arrested yesterday in connection with a third overdose. Bail's been set at $4 million. The LA District Attorney's Office states that Buck is a, quote, violent, dangerous sexual predator who mainly preys on men made vulnerable by addiction and homelessness, end quote. According to documents, Buck personally administered, quote, dangerously large doses of narcotics to his victims and is a predator with no regard for human life, end quote. There have been many Democrats, including Ted Lieu and others, that have said that pledged to give their donations from Ed Buck to different groups. We'll see if that actually comes out. But people have been asking for this guy to be arrested or investigated for quite some time, including one mother who lost her son who had OD'd and blames Ed Buck as well. The America's oldest living World War II veteran celebrated his 110th birthday at the National World War II Museum, which is awesome. New Orleans native Lawrence Brooks was joined by friends, family, and fellow service members and museum staff to celebrate at the museum's Louisiana Memorial Pavilion. And he was feted by the museum's vocal trio, the Victory Bells, who serenaded him with patriotic classics, which is very cool. Also, let's see here. This is what I had told you about. Pizza Hut debuts a giant Cheez-It filled with cheese. Literally, that's what it is. I have no other way to describe it. It looks like a giant Cheez-It. It's the limited time stuffed Cheez-It pizza. Features four baked jumbo squares topped with sharp real cheese. And basically, it's supposed to taste like a giant Cheez-It. And it's baked to, they say, toasty perfection. So, I don't know. Does that something that you would go for?
I may try that on cheat day.
It sounds pretty insane.
It does.
Right? I mean, it's giant four pieces of bread just stuffed with cheese. I don't know. I am not in favor of this. Norman Lear, it didn't it say that they're trying to redo Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Okay, so what in the world?
Yes.
Also, he's renewing a deal with Sony that's going to cover, it's going to take him all the way to 100 years of age. I've never even heard anything like that in my life. That's a pretty, golly, he's just, and cool, people want to work, they can work. That's awesome. Senator Ted Cruz, he doesn't want the Princess Bride remake either. Up next.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
I've been looking at the document that is circulating on the Hill. The White House and the Department of Justice are using this document. They're sending it out to Republican lawmakers. Hopefully, the aim is to expand background checks consistent with Manchin-Toomey. That's the universal background check bill. And just to remember, whenever we have a discussion about universal background checks, you are looking to criminalize already federally regulated legal private transfers, which, and I have the scoreboard on this, several separate studies have shown are not the source for the firearms that are used by these offenders in commission of a felony or used in mass shootings. In fact, there was the one theft was Sandy Hook. And that was that murderer took his mother's firearms. So they are circulating what they call an idea sheet. It is not something that it may not end up as this language in legislation, but they're circulating this idea sheet. But it does indicate that they're looking at universal background checks for what they say are all commercially advertised unlicensed sales, right? And Attorney General Bill Barr, the White House Legislative Affairs Director, they apparently all had some meetings that took place. He was supposed to meet with Mike Lee. Apparently that meeting was canceled with Senator Mike Lee. But Barr was pitching the legislation, saying that if you Republicans don't act, the Daily Caller said, if you Republicans don't act, this is what Barr was apparently telling them, that you could electrify further Democrat voters, and maybe perhaps your lack of action would inspire some enthusiasm on their side. And he was trying to present the criminalization of legal federally regulated private transfers as being not a gun control measure. He was trying to spin it to present it as a way that you are helping law enforcement crack down on gun smugglers, apparently, or something to that effect, which we have laws for that. They said that there was no draft text. There was no follow-up action. Some said it seems superficial. At least I was talking to a friend of mine who said everything that they know, it seemed kind of superficial. They said that the legislation that's being put forward is apparently not addressing straw purchases either. So we'll see. Even though straw purchases, that's a crime. That's a felony. That's a federally regulated. There's a criminal penalty for that. And I don't know, maybe they need to pursue more of those cases instead of not, because a lot of times they just kind of fall through the cracks. I mean, remember, we were talking about some of these cases in 2017 where you had 12 and how it dropped by, what, over 36%, I think, 35 or 36. It was over 36% under the Obama terms, the prosecutions for these felony gun crimes, because this is already, again, federally regulated. And we're waiting for Senator Ted Cruz to join. So the bill that is one of the other bills that's floating around there, it's called the Protecting Communities and Preserving the Second Amendment Act of 2019. And it is, I have this up here. I read this bill and I've made numerous notes on the bill. And I'm going to put this on Facebook, by the way, as well, so you all can see it too. This is one of the bills that's being put out there as a way to kind of stymie some of the further restriction stuff. Joining us on the phone right now, Senator Ted Cruz from the Great Republic of Texas on this and this whole issue that Congress is grappling with right now. Senator, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Dana, always good to be with you. Thanks for everything you do each and every day.
Of course, and we appreciate your time today. You, along with Senator Grassley, are introducing the Protecting Communities and Preserving the Second Amendment Act of 2019. I was just telling the listening audience, I read through the bill. There are some things that you hit in here that a lot of individuals, including myself, have been calling for. Are you hoping, what is your hope with this particular legislation? Because I see that some of this kind of thwarts some of the more dangerous legislation that would empower criminals and penalize the law abiding more so. And this seems to kind of get past that, particularly where you're talking about compliance with submitting records in for the NICS checks. Tell me about this bill.
Right. Well, look, you asked what I'm hoping for. I hope we take it up and I hope we pass it. And what you and I both understand and your listeners understand is we can and should go after violent criminals, mass murderers. We should come down on them like a ton of bricks, and we should be vigorous stopping felons and fugitives and those with dangerous mental illness from committing these horrific crimes. And we can do all of that without in any way undermining the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens. What the mm-hmm. Democrats always do, and you've been fighting these battles a long time, is they focus on the law-abiding citizens instead of the bad guys. That has it exactly backwards. And so this legislation is designed to go after felons and fugitives and those with dangerous mental illness, to strengthen the background check system, to make sure that felony convictions are actually in the database.
Right, because that's been a huge problem. Thousands of them have not been submitted.
Yep. And a perfect example that you're well familiar with is the tragedy of Sutherland Springs, the worst mm-hmm. church shooting in American history. And I've spent a lot of time at Sutherland Springs. I was in the sanctuary the day after the shooting. It remains the most horrific thing I've ever seen. One of the most maddening aspects of Sutherland Springs is that was an entirely preventable crime. The shooter there, it was already doubly illegal for him to buy a gun or own a gun. He had a felony conviction. He had a domestic violence conviction. Mm-hmm. The reason he was able to buy a gun is the Obama administration, the Air Force, never reported his felony to the background check database. So he went, purchased the gun, filled out the background check form, and he passed the background check because they didn't have his felony conviction in the database. What Grassley Cruz does is it... Number one, directed the Department of Justice to do an audit of all the federal agencies to make sure they've reported the felonies to the database, which presumably would have caught the Sutherland Springs felony conviction. But secondly, and this is critically important, every year about 50,000 felons and fugitives try to illegally buy guns.
And we don't pursue charges.
We don't pursue charges. The Department of Justice prosecutes about 50 a year out of 50,000. And what Grassley Cruz says is it directs the Department of Justice to create a gun crime task force. So if a felon comes in and lies and tries to illegally buy a gun, you prosecute him and you put him in jail. And if we had passed this bill in 2013 when I introduced it, when the Sutherland Springs shooter went in and tried to illegally buy a gun and lied on the background check form, he would have been prosecuted and he would have been in federal jail instead of murdering those innocent people in that beautiful sanctuary.
Absolutely. Yeah, this bill, the Cruz-Grassley bill, and we're talking to Senator Ted Cruz, the nationwide, it creates a task force. You also have the nationwide Project Exile expansion, and yes. I know that they're going to be working with advising in terms of investigation and prosecution, and also looking at that noncompliance from all of these different agencies. Because, Senator, right. you know, if you or I were to mess up in our places of employment to where someone loses their life because of our mistake, there are severe penalties for that, but not severe penalties for agencies who do the exact same thing. And we have proof that this is demonstrable, that this has led to loss of life. Charleston was another. That was a paperwork yep. error that former FBI Director James Comey had to come out and state. But yet there's no penalty for this. Is this going to create enough of a penalty that it is a deterrent, that people will be compliant and do their jobs?
Well, it's certainly designed to. It's designed to incentivize state and local jurisdictions. So if there's a state prosecution and felony, that they make sure to get that conviction in the database. And what works is prosecuting the violent criminals who use guns. You mentioned Project Exile, which was a tremendously effective program at the Department of mm-hmm. Justice, where if you use a gun in a crime, you get prosecuted and you do hard time. And it's had a real record of success, reducing murders, reducing violent crimes. That's how you stop these things. But sadly, and we've seen this over and over again, when there's a tragedy, when there's a mass shooting, Democrats in the media immediately come out, and the only thing they want to focus on doing is you and me as law-abiding citizens and trying to undermine our gun rights. And we saw it on the stage in Houston last week, mm-hmm. where of the 10 Democratic candidates for president standing on that stage, three are now vocally supporting gun confiscation, the federal government forcibly yes. confiscating our guns. That's their agenda. And that doesn't prevent crime. And in fact, if they ever succeeded in that agenda, it would increase crime because it would make law-abiding citizens more vulnerable to the criminals. That's going right. exactly the wrong direction.
Three quick questions for you about this. Yeah. You had a back and forth with the Chicago mayor yes. about crime rate, homicide involving illegal use of legally possessed firearms. You noted this legislation also shows that the task force is going to be working in cities that have the highest homicide rates. One problem that these cities all have is the recidivism and the minimum sentencing, the lax sentencing. Is there anything that is in this bill or that you plan to propose that is going to address that problem? Because in Chicago, according to the former Chicago police superintendent, that's the driver of over 86% of their crime yep. is these repeat offenders.
Now, look, it is a huge problem in a city like Chicago, which year after year is near the top or at the very top in terms of how many murders happen each year. And as you know, Chicago has among the strictest gun control laws in the country. They don't work mm-hmm. because what they do is they disarm all the victims. They disarm all the law-abiding citizens, and the criminals, the gangbangers, don't give up their guns. And then you combine that with a lax system of prosecuting. You know, I tweeted out a story just a couple of weeks ago about a gangbanger who had repeatedly committed felonies, who had multiple gun offenses. They arrest him again, and they immediately release him out on bond. Well, if you're releasing violent criminals, it should not be a surprise that violent criminals are dangerous and they commit more crimes of violence.
Right,
you asked if Grassley Cruz, what it could do about it. You know, a little bit of the history of Project Exile, which I know you know, but not all of your listeners may know about it. So Project Exile was a project that began in the Eastern District of Virginia, the U.S. Attorney's Office, where they set a policy. They said if a criminal uses a firearm in a crime, we are going to prosecute him federally, and we are going to seek hard time, 5-10 years in prison, hard time. They set that policy, and Richmond, Virginia had a murder crisis going on where the murder rate was very high. They began advertising in Richmond, Virginia, downtown Richmond, mm-hmm. use a gun in a crime, do hard time. As a result of Project Exile, I mean, criminals began, and there was testimony,
it
the
worked.
Criminals began leaving their guns at home, that they wouldn't take a gun in a crime, because they knew they'd go to jail for a long time if they did, and the murder rates dropped significantly. What Grassley-Cruz does is it makes that a national program where the Department of Justice, someone uses a gun in a crime, they get prosecuted, they go to jail. That's the best way to get these violent criminals off the streets.
Right. I know also in this bill, there is discussion of, and this has come up every time we've had a mass casualty incident, there's a lot of discussion on video games. Some individuals are worried that we could be replacing gun control with game control.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, listen, I'm a gamer myself. I grew up on video games. I think you often see some of the puritanical voices in our society trying to scapegoat video games. I'll tell you, it was interesting at Santa Fe. I spent a lot of times with the families of the victims of that shooting, and I remember one round table. Actually, President Trump was at the round table as well, and the question was asked of the families, "What do you think about video games and violent video games?" And one of the dads said, "You know, video games are the main way that I connected with my high schooler and was able to hang out and have bonding time." And I'll confess, look, I've got an 11-year-old and 8-year-old, and when I put Caroline, our 11-year-old, to bed, you know, right now she wants to play Gardenscapes on my iPhone, and we sit there in her bedroom playing games together. And you know, I don't think we ought to be restricting people's liberties. I think we ought to be focusing on violent criminals. And that's the fundamental distinction between good guys and bad guys. And we should protect the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens. If you're a murderer, you're going away.
Hmm. Yeah, and good to hear. I'd completely empathize with that dad, because we have family game nights, and I play Call of Duty, so we have family game nights, and it is, as the kids get older, that is a way to have some family time together. I know that there are there's the red flag bill legislation that's going through the Senate. There's also some movement in the House with pieces of legislation. There's also the Manchin-Toomey bill, which looks at universal background checks. Where do you stand on those two issues, and are you concerned about the possibility of the universal background checks particularly creating a national registry?
I'm very concerned about that. You know, Manchin-Toomey, when it was voted on in 2013, it was voted down. At the time, I voted no. I'm still a no on it. And you know, the talking points for the Democrats, the talking points for the media is always, quote, universal background checks. And it helps to actually talk about the facts. As you know, background checks are required anytime you purchase a firearm from a federally licensed dealer, which is the vast majority of purchases. That's true if you purchase from a dealer at a store. That's true if you purchase from a dealer at a gun show. If you buy from a dealer, you have to do a background check. What the Democrats are talking about doing, and what the media is talking about doing, is extending that to private person-to-person sales. That means, in some of the more extreme of their proposals, a grandfather gives his grandson a shotgun to go bird hunting, and you have to go through a federal scrutiny and review. Two buddies in a hunting blind, one sells a deer rifle to the other, and they have to go through federal review. And I have two major problems with it. One, there is zero evidence that it would do anything to stop these mass murders. That's not how these criminals are getting their guns. It wouldn't have stopped the mass murders we've seen across the country. But two, the instant you mandate that every person-to-person sale have a federal review and regulation, the only way to enforce that is a national gun registry. And a gun registry is how a confiscation plan is carried out. And Dana, as you know, even a year or two ago, when you or I would raise the danger of confiscation, the media would laugh at us, say, you guys are, this is conspiracy theory, this will never happen. It's worth underscoring again, 3 of the 10 Democrats on the presidential debate stage are openly and aggressively calling for mandatory forcible federal gun confiscation. So I think that is a mistake. I think we should focus instead. We should pass instead Grassley-Cruz and focus on the bad guys while protecting the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens.
There you go. Senator Ted Cruz, appreciate your time with us today talking about these issues. I've had more questions about this and your bill also in particular from listeners than almost anything else. So I appreciate you explaining that for everyone today as well. We'll talk with you again soon. God bless and good luck. Thanks so much.
God bless. And thank you for your courage. And let me say in particular, the CNN town hall you participated in, their treatment of you was shameful. It was disgraceful. And you showed ferocious courage going into to what was, it wasn't right how they went after you. And I appreciate your standing up for my constitutional rights.
Well, thank you so much. Senator Ted Cruz, appreciate the kind words. We'll talk again and we'll be watching all the happenings in Congress. Thank you again, sir. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Today in Stupidity. Don't go anywhere. More of the show after this.